Blog Talk Radio.
Food Fun Nation Radio, brought to you by foodfunnation.com. Chef Sean and Tech Rob bringing you another Food Fun filled Blog Talk Radio episode. Food Fun Nation, where we celebrate food with you. From the chef's tested recipes to foodie news, restaurant insider info to small talk, we do it all for you. Now pull up a seat to the chef's table and let's dig into this hot and spicy episode live from the chef's studio. Call in at 1-347-677-1646 or live chat with us on their radio page. And go give us a like on our Facebook fan page at Food Fun Nation. We are now on the air with the culinary hosts that know the most. Take it away, guys.
Hey guys, and happy Nation Day, whatever. I almost was late for my own funeral. No, just kidding. I probably would be late for my own funeral. Well, hello Nation, it's me, Radio Rob. The chef shared some more stories with me, and so I made this show. And it's actually quite an easy way of doing it. You get some 4 articles and the show writes itself. So I was kind of thanking Sean for that. I made the show with those stories, and it blew my mind how fast the show comes together with that format. 4 to 5 articles, find relation, and poof, you have a show. Well, this show, Chef has shared 2 messed up stories, so this show is on the bizarre side. Who remembers that TV show of Bizarre with the host Dave Biner and the now late Bob Einstein, who also appeared as Super Dave? I loved that show. Well, on this show, let's get the chef involved and get the party started. Hey, chef, how are you doing?
Hello, hello. How are you doing? Good.
Not bad. It freaked me out when I was signing in there saying that it was an independent show, and I had you in mind when I wrote it, so I'm thinking, did I miss something? I mean, I am ready to do the show by myself, but yeah. It would make it a bit longer if I had you involved. As independent shows, I tend to ramble, ramble, ramble. Who wants to listen to my voice for 30 minutes, right? But that's going to happen. What is it?
I like doing it
3 or 4 times this year?
Different.
Yeah.
3.
Yeah, 3, okay.
3 each.
Yeah. I still
so already did one, so 2 more.
That's right, I did do one already. I'm so scatterbrained right now, it's not even funny. Uh-huh. I woke up nice and early, played on my phone, Candy Crush, level 1700 and something. Catching up on all the wrestling that gets played during the night, that these people who don't know how to go to bed.
Yeah, I know. Everybody's up doing their YouTube streams. Shout out to anybody from the Digital Wrestling Syndicate out there that is listening. Shout out to you guys. And for everybody doing their 3 in the morning streams.
Yeah. And Maverick did their show at 8 o'clock this morning. So
we've got to remember different time zones too, right?
Yeah, I think he's in Texas or something. So.
Yeah. All my exes live in Texas. That's what I had up in Tennessee.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I noticed your Cowboys are gone. I think, I'm assuming
Randy,
they're gone. They lost yesterday or whatever. And today at 1 is going to be Los Angeles Chargers at New England, and we all know how New England plays for playoff games. So, but I'm going to go with the upset, San Diego. Los Angeles Chargers for the win. I'm just wishful thinking that they upset them, but yeah, they have the better record than New England Patriots, but that doesn't mean anything because because Patriots play at a whole different level, as we all know, when it's playoff time. Should be a good game. And I believe it's Philadelphia Eagles at New Orleans at 4:00 game today. So there's only two games on today that I know of. But yeah.
And this is the last Sunday, right, before Super Bowl? Or is there one more Sunday before Super Bowl?
I know they have a week in between where they do nothing. You let everybody rest up and get their game plan on. So I have a couple weeks to go. I don't even know the date, actually. Yeah, it's coming up real quick, isn't it? I guess we better plan something
first
quick.
First Sunday of February.
My
you're broke as hell.
Low after Christmas.
Yeah.
I won't be doing much.
Well, you're talking about going the traditional route of the old pizza and wings or something like that. Did you not see that?
Yeah, that sounds about all we're going to be able to do, if we're able to do that. Anyway, let's get on with
the... Okay. Well, I did the after New Year's show last Sunday and talking about being hungover. Sean found an alcohol and hangover related article from munchies.vice.com. Be careful, do not let this hangover cure become the cause. Here's a cure for any overindulgence taught to me by my wise father. Actually, the author's father, not mine. Serving one. Ingredients: 2 part Fernet Branca and 1 part creme de menthe. And I don't know what the first part of the first...
Right. Well, that's why I'm stopping you right there. I'm going to let you know. Fernet is an Italian type of a bitter. It's an aromatic spirit. It's made from herbs, spices, and it includes like rhubarb in it, chamomile in it, cardamom in it. So it's very aromatic, and saffron in it. And it's a great base distilled spirit, so it's a bitter. There you go. It was first made in 1845. And there's my Paul Blart Mall Cop fun fact for you.
There you go. The directions is: 1, mix together and drink. Add ice. Do not be put off by the color. 2, be careful. This is so effective, you can find yourself turning into a miraculous powers with increasingly regularity. Do not let the cure become the cause. From Fergus Henderson has perfected the art of all day drinking.
Oh, so have you, haven't
done
you?
That.
I think.
Yeah.
You perfected the art of all day drinking. Wow.
Well, I have rules. I have rules now. I only have 6 a day and 8 on my day off, and I don't drink before 12 p.m.
And my rules is I don't have rules because I don't have a freaking problem. I don't have to have rules.
No, the only time I have a problem is when my bottle's empty.
Exactly. From Vice.com, this guy served his friends tacos made from his own, drumroll, amputated leg. The wacky, so-called...
That's why I gave it...
I don't know, I guess it can't be called... The only food part of this is he made tacos with it. But it was wacky enough, I had to share it. It was good stuff. It showed up on my news feed. I'm like, this has to happen. One friend had to spit me into a napkin. That's gross. Okay.
Yeah.
If you could taste human flesh in an ethical way, would you? That's a good question. Well, would you?
No.
And
I don't think there is an ethical way.
I'm nuts and crazy out there, and I'm a chef, and our chef would try anything. No, I wouldn't. So who knew? I have morals.
This is boundaries.
Everybody thinks I'm crazy enough to do that, but no. The real Sean would not do that. It's the kind of question you ask yourself after watching Silence of the Lambs, stoned. Yeah, I guess you would. But I myself haven't been there either way for that. But anyway, no matter how you respond, you never expect anyone to hold you to that answer. But in a recent Reddit post, I'm not even going to say whatever, it doesn't matter. I don't even want you guys to go check him out. Shared the story of a motorcycle crash that put him face to face with the macabre hypothetical when a car hit his bike and sent him careening into a nearby forest, his foot was shattered to the point he would never walk on it again. So when the doctor asked if he wanted, oh my God, I can't believe I'm even reading this. This is awesome. When the doctor asked if, I think it's awesome, asked if he wanted to amputate, his one question was, can I keep it? Well, of course. That would be the first thing you know, when you go for the old amputation, that's the first thing you ask, right, to keep the limb?
Well,
the doctor said
I
yes.
I kept my teeth when I got too distracted, but...
Yeah, but there's no freaking foot fairy out there. Can't put it under the
no.
pillow. On Sunday, July 10th, 2016, 3 weeks after the accident, Shiny, nice name, who prefers to remain anonymous, invited 10 of his most open-minded friends to a special birthday. I'm calling bullshit on this. Sorry. I don't know. I don't know. You never know. It's crazy enough that it could have happened. They ate apple strudel. This sounds like a total Hannibal Lecter meal made up here. They ate apple strudel because he was a fine dining gourmet guy. Hannibal Lecter. Ate apple strudel, cheese puff pastry, fruit tarts, and chocolate cake. They drank gin lemonade punches and mimosas. And then the main course came out, fajita tacos made from Chinese severed human limb. The United States doesn't have a federal law banning cannibalism. Well, that's good to know. Damn. If I ever change my ways, I'm heading to the States. I don't know about Canada's law. Well, I don't know. I don't even want to know. Idaho is the only state which the simple act of eating human flesh can land you in prison. Laws against
I'm living in Idaho if I ever move in the States then.
Exactly, yeah, me too.
No one's going to eat
at least you.
No one's going to
exactly.
eat me. If I'm in the States, I'm in Idaho. So all that time in Duluth,
guess,
we could have been eaten, and no one could have went to jail.
I guess that's a good place to head when the zombie apocalypse happens, because then you can just go to the zombie. You're going to get arrested, dude. You don't want to do this. Step away from the flesh, man. Step away from the flesh. Burying and selling human meat and corpse, oh my God, make cannibalism difficult, but technically illegal in other 49 states. It's a rare someone able to consent to being eaten. Yeah, I would have to agree on that. Meet someone's interest in eating them, but even that scenario raises a ton of ethical questions. A Belgian man named Detlev Gonzel was sentenced to 8.5 years in prison for butchering and eating a Polish businessman with his consent. Okay. This is just getting weirder and weirder as I'm reading it. Shiny's is the rare case in cannibalism, which not only legal but ethical. He documented the entire process, but due to the graphic nature of the photos. Oh, my God, he had photos. I'm not even... I kind of
no,
want to go look it up.
On the article.
No, No, but I'm sure you could like type it in Google this guy's name and find it. But I'm not going to go there. I don't even want to know. Oh God, he have omitted several from the post view of full set here. It says, but it doesn't. Yeah. We asked the 38-year-old why he decided to feed himself to his friends, what he tasted like, and how the experience changed him. The following interview had been edited and condensed for time and clarity. Why did you do this? Originally, I wanted to have it taxidermed or freeze-dried. How cool would it be to have my freeze-dried taxiderm foot standing around the house as a lamp or doorstep or something? All this came to me idea that it's my foot, it's not going to be cremated and chucked into landfill. It's part of me and I want it back. Okay, just give me a second. I'm just checking in chat. Nobody there? Oh, Walmart Outlaw, how you doing? You're in the chat. I see you there.
Oh, yeah, there he is.
Would you try... Matt, would you let Rob know while I'm reading this? Would you try human flesh for shits and giggles? I don't think I would go there, but yeah. How do you convince the doctor to give you your leg? Most hospitals have policies where they release your body parts because of some religions you have to be buried whole. Ah, that's interesting. That's probably why the law came about in the first place. So I just signed the paperwork. Wow. Well, okay, this guy has too many answers to the questions. Like, really thought out and totally making sense. So now I'm starting to believe this again. I'm back on the believing bandwagon. How do you preserve it before the meal? I got back to my place and I froze it. I couldn't find a taxidermist who would take me seriously, and freeze drying was too expensive. It would have been $1,200. He even has a price. So this guy's nuts. To freeze dry the thing, let me scroll down here. Let me get to the point. When I got back to my house, I took the foot out, and it was so gross, man. It was covered in blood. Had iodine all over it. After I cleaned it off, I pleasantly surprised how well-preserved it was. Okay. It's not like they preserved it from formaldehyde or anything. Yeah. Okay.
Well,
but when you think about
iodine.
Beef, which can be dry aged for months, I suppose it makes sense. No, nothing about this makes sense, dude. I had four friends with me at the time, and it was surreal. Picked it up, playing with it. Oh, okay. Let's get to the point here.
Matt says no,
okay.
He wouldn't need it.
go figure. Eh? Yikes. Good call. How did you prepare the foot to be eaten? Here you go, a little recipe for everybody. Write this one down.
Oh, Jesus.
Before we cast it, I quickly took a knife from my kitchen and cut a chunk off the top on my shin. The skin was already kind off the surgery, leaving a big chunk of muscle exposed. I just took the muscle. I just put in a plastic bag and put it in my freezer. Okay, you know the scene National Lampoon's Family Vacation where Chevy Chase is just saying, this is crazy, this is crazy, this is crazy. That's how I felt. That's what I thought. Yeah, you think, buddy? Okay, let's get down to it.
That's what I was thinking when
how
I
did you commit-
got this article.
How do you convince 10
you
friends to eat the foot with you? I invited 11 people. I said something like, remember how we always talked about if we ever had the chance to ethically eat a human? Would you? Well, I'm calling you on that. We doing this or what? 10 said yes. Wow, he got their permission. I thought he screwed with them and made them eat it. Holy crap, he got their permission. My mind's blown.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Anyway, let's get down to... How did the actual cooking of the foot go down? I told the chef my idea, and after thinking about it for a couple of days, he said, okay, let's do this. I'm going to prepare it, and you guys just come on over tomorrow. He marinated it overnight, so if you guys ever have to do this to your foot or somebody else's, which TMI probably at that point, he marinated it overnight and sautéed it with onions, peppers, salt, and the other kind of pepper, and lime juice, so he did the old Mexican route, the traditional Mexican fajita taco thing. He served it on a corn tortillas with the tomatillo sauce, which is like tomato sauce. Yeah. And there's a full recipe from the chef if you guys want to go back and read it somewhere. How did it taste? People think it tastes like pork because in the movies you hear it called long pig, but the term originated in places of Papua New Guinea where the wild boar. They're not eating our big fat domesticated pigs, and the white meat, boars don't have white meat. Okay. I don't remember eating a heritage pig. It was some of the reddest, most flavorful meat I've ever. I don't know why they're talking about pig all the time, because I guess it tastes like, they're saying the foot tastes like pork. This particular cut was super beefy. Okay, what, are they talking about the foot or the pig? It's confusing at this point. I'm, like, totally having, like, outer body experience.
I think
I can't
they're talking about
this crap. Holy man. I like, just the thought of this is, like, horrifying me now. I thought, oh, this would be a fun article. Now I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, it got really long. It was more fun at the beginning.
Yeah, it's super long. I'm just trying to get to the points of things here. Yeah, well. You guys get to just the story. The guy ate the freaking foot. There's not much more to say.
We got 10
so
people to eat it with.
Yeah, that's the even. Is it weirder the fact that he wanted to cook his foot and cooked it as a taco, or he got 10 friends to come along for the ride? I don't know.
11 invited, man. As one person said no.
And at the end, all he basically says is, "I did it. It was fun and cool. And I have a great story." True enough. True enough.
Yeah, sign up for the newsletter. Not. I'll just wait for you to share some more stuff with me. All right, I'm up with a Calgary Booster Juice was using countertop cleaner to wash fruits and veggies. Restaurant ordered to fix multiple violations as company pledges retraining for staff. It was on CBC News, posted on January 6, 2019. That's how fast Sean shares stuff with me. Alberta Health Services found that this booster juice in Northwest Calgary was using countertop disinfectant to wash fruits and veggies. And I got 463 comments. An Alberta Health Services inspected last week found that... I'm just repeating myself. On December 30th, inspectors found the smoothie bar in Crowfoot Crossing was using Sani Stuff, a powerful benzyl conium chloride cleaner for sanitizing hard surfaces like countertops and equipment to wash food. They also found that Windex and stain remover were being stored in the Sani Stuff bottles. Wheatgrass planters were being stored near ready-to-eat fruits and veggies. And no probe thermometer was being used to ensure food were being kept at the right temperatures. The restaurant was ordered to stop using non-food safe cleaners to wash food, provide a thermometer, store wheatgrass on a bottom shelf to prevent contamination, and relabel bottles to identify what chemicals are inside. Sani Stuff website states the chemical should only be used to disinfect hard surfaces in locations like restaurants or hospitals, and that it could cause severe skin burns and eye damage and should not be inhaled. An AHS spokesperson said the booster juice location was complied with the orders and the inspection was the result of a tip from the public. The amount of sanitizer that could have come into contact with food was a very low concentration and did not present a significant health concerns, reads the statement from AHS. Booster juice management were extremely cooperative and took immediate steps to ensure the proper use of the disinfectant at all its locations. EPH investigates all complaints received and appreciates the public bringing forward concerns about improper food handling practices, so these concerns can be properly investigated. Booster Juice said employees at the location are going through retraining and all violations will be addressed. The company said the cleaning sanitizer is diluted and used to clean utensils as well, but never should have been used to clean fruits or veggies, even though the concentration meant it didn't pose harm to customers. When an incident that does not uphold our brand standards is identified, we act quickly to ensure that the issue is resolved, said Booster Juice's president and CEO Dale Wishuan in an email statement. We can ensure customers that it is not a company-wide issue when a location does not adhere to our strict food handling procedures by following our checklist and using the tools ready, available in our stores. It is dealt with right away as we take food handling very seriously. That was cool. Not cool. We get complaints, people saying that they get food poisoning, and they question our procedures at where I work all the time. And any story, if it's true or false, the health inspector will come in and talk to our managers, talk to the staff, check the temp lists, check the fridge temperatures and all that to see if there was indeed a reason for a person to be sick from eating at your establishment. So finding that quick is probably a good thing because I don't think it was done by the public. I think someone who was working there thought it was bad practice and reported to his boss basically saying, I don't think it's cool that we are doing that because I don't think the public would actually know how the stuff is being washed or if it's even being true. Because no one's in the back watching you wash your lettuce and tomatoes when we do our prep work.
That's disgusting. I'm going to do a little chef food court here for everybody. And I'll be the judge in this one. For my opinion, like, just you gave yours, and yeah, it's kind of you got to believe people. They got caught. The franchisees got caught with their pants down. Let's break it down. The franchisees got caught with their pants down is not the corporate's fault, Booster Juice. It is not their fault. It's the franchisees not being properly trained or ignoring how they were, or they were trained, because, you know, when you get a franchise, you're trained. You're signed off on everything that you've been trained. So they are 100% the franchisees running it and their managers running it are at fault because shit rolls downhill. It's freaking disgusting. You guys are pigs. You guys, I'm sentencing the franchisees to have to drink a cup of that diluted with some coffee and see how your day goes. You're poisoning people, you sick bastards. That's all I have to say about that. That's disgusting.
Yeah.
What do you think? Yeah? Good call?
I agree. Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
No,
okay,
you're up with
on.
The birth of the bonbon.
Thunder Bay, where we live in the middle of Canada, one of the only bonbon spare ribs. Birth of the bonbon, Thunder Bay is the one and only bonbon spare rib. My egg rolls and chicken chow mein have gone longstanding inferiority complex. Another dish has always stolen the show. Bonbon spare rib is one of my top Chinese foods here. I would say top three when I order Chinese. These plump, lightly coated, crispy pork short ribs, she described it perfectly, are typically seasoned with Chinese spices, five spice, and spritzed with lemon. The lemon just gives it that extra flavor. True to their name, the ribs go down like candy when paired with local craft beer, but you only find them here in Thunder Bay. Apparently, other places try it. One place in Winnipeg does it. I guess here and there they do it. But it started here. The bonbon spare ribs, it's sacrilege to order Chinese without them, and Chinese Canadians was created right here in Thunder Bay in 1946 by a local Chinese restaurant owner named Lam Peng. He came from Tishan, a coastal city in southern Guangdong province of China, says his daughter. He came to Thunder Bay when he was a boy and learned how to cook on ships. He opened his own restaurants called Peng, so that's awesome. Peng experimented with 2-inch short ribs while catering a house party. Obviously, they were a hit. The story I've heard that he needed some quick and fast to serve the guests, and the guests were still drinking beer into the night. Xi Peng Chen, a family friend of Peng's, an owner of the Fort William Curling Club Chinese restaurant, another place, awesome Chinese food here. They're perfect with beer. Yeah, they would be. Especially if you drank like a lemon or lime flavored beer, that'd be amazing with them. Peng naturally decided to put them on the menu. Soon the Chinese restaurants in town were offering the bonbons. Each restaurant does it slightly different. Our bonbons are very popular at the Fort William Curling Club. We go through 150 pounds in a week. I believe that. He's not even exaggerating. It's a far cry from the traditional Chinese ribs. They're usually steamed with black beans. Even she worked to improve her father's recipe with her own unique of spice and mix and her own ginger sauce. There you go. That's that. See your goodbyes. The show's done.
Alrighty. Have a good one. Thanks for joining up there, Matt.
Thank you.
Ciao.
Yeah, Matt. Nice to see you. Food Fun Nation, we celebrate food with you.
We hope all of our culinary food fun has you soul satisfied. Until next time, with a few laughs delivered with a feel-good guarantee.
Or this one is free on us.
Food Fun Nation Radio, we celebrate food with you.
Hello, welcome to One Way Kitchen. I take your order, please. I highly recommend the combo number 5.
Ooh, nice.
Yes, combo 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Everybody love a Chinese steam or fry from the Chinese restaurant around the corner. So you say you want some soup, I bring your order. Roast duck is a special all this week. We buy a deep pig because our duck is cheap. You like egg for your nice chicken, chow fun and saga. We are serving dim sum, all of it yum yum. So what can I get you really big order pork? We got the chopsticks, but please use our fork. Everything is fried, here for good, like a dumpling. So just give us a little beef and broccoli. You got